Good morning, and welcome to our online service of morning prayer on the 8th Sunday after Pentecost. We are delighted that you've joined us for worship today. Before we begin our liturgy, we have a few short announcements. A beloved member of our church family, William Bill Gibson, passed away peacefully this past Tuesday, July 21st. May he rest in peace and rise with Christ in glory. I ask your prayers this week for his wife, Nora, and for Pamela and David, who have been caring for Bill, and for the entire family. May God's peace, comfort, and hope be with them. Our Raise the Roof campaign 2020 has concluded. Barbara Broadbent reports that we have received an additional 22 gifts this week. The total of these was $3,630. Our new grand total for Raise the Roof is $18,790, and we've been told we have more on the way. We are so grateful. Our thanks to all who contributed. We'd also like to extend a special thank you this morning to our musicians who have faithfully and tirelessly produced music for our audio services over the last few months. Raymond Chong, Kara Prost, Angela Gibbon, and Sophia Rahul, thank you for the hours of recording you put into your individual tracks each week. You are such a gift and blessing to our church, and we have enjoyed your beautiful music. While Reverend Andrea is on vacation, our musicians will also enjoy a well-deserved rest so that they are ready for worship once again in September. Due to vacations, our online coffee hour will resume September the 6th. We look forward to connecting with you then. Stay tuned for a new link to Zoom at the beginning of September. Over the next 4 weeks, stay tuned for weekly Sunday YouTube services each week, provided by Kathy, Elaine, and Robert. While Reverend Andrea is on vacation, the Reverend Robert Gorham will be on call for all pastoral emergencies. Please don't hesitate to call the office for contact information. Let us now take a moment to prepare our hearts, minds, and bodies for worship. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God,
we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sins. Renew a right spirit within us. And restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Blessed is the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy.
And in our song will we praise God.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos, you drew forth the world, and in your great love, fashioned us in your image. Now, through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other, also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell him of his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered.
O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen one,
he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the world that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac,
which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant,
saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance."
That they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 weeks ago now, I preached about the condition of our heart soil. Are our hearts teachable? Are we growing as disciples? Are we sharing the good news? Over the last weeks, we've been listening to all the parables found in Matthew 13. These are parables that read us. How we hear them depends on the condition of our hearts. If we listen well, the stories change us. They teach us about God's kingdom. Listening is a key component to receiving the parables of Jesus. Jesus has not been saying, those who have eyes, read along. He says, everyone who has ears, listen. In Matthew's gospel, there's a great significance placed on hearing the word and listening with our hearts. As we hear these parables, then, we need to be careful not to let them go in one ear and out the other. They need to go deep into our hearts where they can work on us and transform us. In our gospel text from today, you may have noticed that the short parables are arranged in pairs. The mustard seed and the yeast tell of a kingdom that starts very small and grows exponentially large. Interestingly, both mustard and leavening would have some negative associations in the minds of Jesus' disciples. Mustard, as we know, is an invasive weed. And the yeast that Jesus mentions isn't the Red Star Active dry yeast in a nice little pre-measured packet. It was a lump of fermented dough left over from the last batch of bread. If you've ever made sourdough bread from scratch, you'll have an idea of the kind of leavening Jesus was talking about. In Jewish understanding, leavening was a symbol for corruption. It was what you had to eliminate from your home in order to celebrate the Passover. Yet Jesus refers to the way mustard and fermented bread dough work as examples of the way that the kingdom of heaven works. Each of these items may have begun from humble origins, but they grow into something that cannot be contained. It may be hidden at the beginning, but it is unstoppable, pervasive, and abundant Once a mustard plant takes hold, it spreads everywhere. And the amount of flour that Jesus mentions would have made enough bread to feed at least 100 people. Remember the abundant generosity of God, which Jesus described at the beginning of this chapter in the parable of the sower. Here it is once again. These parables warn us not to be put off by what appears to be unimpressive at first glance. The people gathered on that beach, listening to Jesus, wondered if this humble carpenter who hung out with fishermen could possibly be the Messiah. In the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast, Jesus reminds us that the kingdom, which has already begun with Jesus, does not come with a glorious bang. Rather, it comes unexpectedly, almost unnoticed. But all that is necessary is already there, and the end is present in the beginning. The next pair of parables focus on another aspect of the kingdom of heaven. They describe its value. Again, there's an element of surprise in the example that Jesus chooses to use. He talks about someone finding a treasure in a field and, thrilled at his discovery, buries it again and then sells all that he has in order to buy that field. Just like the merchant who was searching for fine pearls and came across one that he recognized as having great value, we should be looking for evidence of the kingdom of heaven. And whether you find it by surprise or after diligently seeking for it, the fact that it's hidden from view makes it all the more precious, all the more worth our total investment. It's worth everything that we have. So here we have a pair of parables that show how the kingdom of heaven might seem small and insignificant in the beginning, but it grows into something that cannot be contained. And we have another pair of parables that describes how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. All four of these stories hint that the kingdom may be hidden from plain view for those who do not have eyes to see or ears to hear. But let's consider the last set of twin parables. These are parables about judgment. Both parables describe what will happen to those who ignore Christ's message. They both speak of angels who will separate the righteous from the evil, throwing the evil into the furnace of fire. And we really aren't comfortable talking about God's judgment in today's world. Not in a world where I'm okay and you're okay. We don't want to offend anybody or scare them away with stories of unquenchable fire and gnashing teeth and wailing cries. Yet, we would have no need for salvation if there weren't something to be saved from. As the kingdom of heaven grows into its fullness and immeasurable value, evil must be pulled out from it and destroyed. That said, it's really important to recognize that Jesus did not belabor this point. For every parable about judgment, he tells five parables about joy, abundance, and uncounted treasure. Jesus tells stories that envision God in every nook and cranny in daily life, from netting dough to plowing fields. Jesus transforms human life not by scaring the heck out of people, but by helping them to see that heaven is close at hand. These parables are a call to follow Jesus and become his disciples by devoting ourselves to the kingdom. So just as he asked his first disciples, Jesus asks us today, do you understand this? Do you have ears to hear and a heart that is open to understanding what you hear? Are you willing to turn your life around? And if you can say yes, Jesus has one more parable for you. Therefore, he says, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, a scribe was someone whose life was devoted to copying down the words of Scripture and then teaching them to others. The invitation here is to understand God's word and to share that good news. Following Jesus today may not seem at first to be what we hoped or expected it to be. Sometimes it appears to be an invasive plant, like mustard, growing and spreading unchecked. Sometimes it may smell like stinky fermented bread dough, hidden among enough flour to feed 100 people who are hungry for the love of God. Sometimes we will stumble upon it like a treasure buried in a field. And sometimes we will only discover it after diligent searching. The problem with most of us is that we would like a little of the kingdom as an add-on to the rest of our lives. We want to hedge our bets, but we cannot hedge our bets with the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a promise that evil will one day be destroyed and that righteousness will shine. And in the meantime, it is working on each one of us, changing us slowly, steadily, calling us to let ourselves be broken open like a seed that dies in order for a plant to grow from it. So how do these parables read you today? Are the ears of your heart ready to listen? Amen.
During the reflective hymn which follows, I invite you into a place of gratitude for God's many blessings in your life. We will now take a moment to pass the virtual plate and invite you to offer unto God the first fruits of your labor as we care for those in need, both locally and globally.
Oh,
Together, let us affirm our faith as we say the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us now pray for the church and the world.
Gracious God, we come before you today in praise and adoration for the many blessings of this life. As we join together today, we lift up our prayers for the church. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray today for the team responsible for preparing Lambeth Conference and Bishop Jane Alexander and the clergy and people of the Diocese of Edmonton. In our diocese, we pray for the Lambeth Conference. In our deanery, we pray for the chaplaincy at the Centenary Hospital. We pray for the Scarborough Ministerial Association, Epiphany of Our Lord Catholic Church, and their priest, Martin. In our outreach ministry today, we lift up the Bridge Prison Ministry. Almighty God, we pray for the strengthening of our faith. For where there's faith, there's no fear. With faith, we can achieve forgiveness and peace. Give us the strength to fight our fears and to bring us into your light, the light of God. We pray for our leadership, bishops Andrew and Kevin, clergy and staff, Andrea, Kathy, Elaine, Daniel, and Charles. Help them, dear Lord, to remain steadfast in their duties you have set out for them. We pray that they will not be discouraged or distracted by the many voices pulling for their attention. We pray for the great leaders of our nation, that they may govern with wisdom and justice. Let us give thanks to God our Father, always and for everything by saying, "We thank you, Lord." For the beauty and wonder of creation, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For all that is gracious in the lives of men and women, revealing the image of Christ, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For our daily food, for our homes and families and friends, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For minds to think and hearts to love, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For health, strength, and skill to work, and for leisure to rest and play, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For those who are brave and courageous, patient in suffering, and faithful in adversity, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For all who pursue peace, justice, and truth, we pray.
We thank you, Lord.
Today we give thanks especially for families and friends, for George and Mafelda Patton and Andrew Fio. In our prayer cycle, we lift before you Roz, Michael, and Lucas. Raymond Janice and family, Dennis Jean. Be their continued strength and health. We pray.
We thank you, Lord.
We pray for those with special needs, the Gibson family, John and Hazel Giddens, Keith Hutchinson, Eleanor McGinnis, Mignon, N, Lucas, Louise, Scott and family, Florence and family, M, Audrey, Terry, Bob. You know each of their needs, Lord. We ask you to minister to them and draw them into wholeness. Dear Lord, we pray for the health and safety of all healthcare and frontline workers. Give them the strength to carry on each day as they continue to serve and protect the communities. We pray.
We thank you, Lord.
For those who have entered God's nearer presence, today we pray for Bill Gibson and all the saints whose lives have reflected the light of Christ. We pray.
We thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Grant that our earthly pilgrimage, we may ever be supported in this fellowship of love and prayer, and know ourselves surrounded by their witness to your power and mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
And the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.